Good morning. Fantastic blessing to be right here with you. I'm so grateful for your presence, the physical presence this morning. I'm so grateful for the presence of everyone that is listening online. There's a lot going on in our world, and I've been thinking, it's hard work for me. I've been thinking about so many things I'd like to say today. Bill helped me just a little bit. Bill, thank you for the scripture that you read. Fits perfectly with what I want to say. Judd and I had a conversation before we started our worship today, and Judd, thank you for telling me about the song that you've been thinking about, Master, the Tempest is Raging. Did you ever think about that song as a prayer? When you sing it, did you ever bow your head and look at the world around you and begin saying, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high? And then raise the question, do you not care? Do you not care that people are perishing with a virus, perishing in riots, just perishing in accidents that occur in our lives? Don't you care? As I thought about what I wanted to talk about, this particular message, I thought about all of those kinds of things that are going on in our world. And I want for me, and I want for you, that peace of God that passes my ability to understand it. My ability is not great in a number of areas. And my understanding is so weak in a lot of ways. And so it wouldn't be hard for the Lord to get past my understanding sometimes. We have some brilliant people listening this morning. Hard to get past your understanding. But the brightest of you, the most intellectual of you, God has a way of dealing with us in which He can surpass any of our ability to understand. And I want for me, for God, to guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, because that's what matters this morning. Really doesn't matter in many ways about the virus. Doesn't really matter in many ways about riots. Those are going to go on. As long as this world goes on, those are going to go on. But what really matters is, no matter what goes on, is that you and I are in Christ Jesus. And our hearts and our lives are guarded in Him. And so this morning, I'm confident I'm talking to somebody that needs to respond to God's invitation. I'm confident of that, just because of life. All of us need to do better and be better, but there may be somebody who's listening who has learned God's message about salvation in Jesus Christ, and that in order to be in Christ, you have to repent of your sins and confess His great name before men and be buried with Him in baptism. If you've learned that and you want to do that this day, our hope and our prayer is that you will. I'm also confident that I'm listening to at least one person whose life has wandered away from that peace that God offers in Christ Jesus. And you want to come back. God requires us to repent and to pray, and He promises us forgiveness. In this time of difficulty in which we have many people at home who cannot come for one reason or another, some who just feel like they're not ready to get out for one reason or another, and then we have many in this room who've come this morning. If there's a need for a response, our elders are going to be after our worship in the classroom off of the older commons. Please go there. If you need prayers, if you need help, that's their desire. That's our desire. It ought to be the desire of every person listening. If you're home and you need help, please call. Call one of our elders. Call one of our ministers. And let's all strive to have our hearts guarded, our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. That's my goal this morning in helping us think. Thinking about controlling our mind. This gentleman that we have his name listed on the screen, George Cutsell. You've heard garbage in, garbage out. I've heard it for years. He's the guy that is given credit for coming up with that. And he's coined a term that's been used in many ways. And his intent was to tell people, look, a computer cannot spit out anything that has not been put into it. You and I are the same way. What is it that's filling your heart and your mind today? What is going on in your mind about so many things that are going on in our world today? And how does that work out in your heart and in your mind and in the way in which you live with people around about you? Americans are having a hard time trusting. Spills over into religion. It spills over into our thinking about elders' decisions and preachers' decisions, and we all have our own ideas and attitudes about things. What if I said this morning, okay, I want everybody to stand up. Now, I'm not doing that, okay? I'm just going to give you an example. What if I said, everybody stand up, and then I say, okay, listen, for those of you that think this virus is a hoax, it's a political scam, there's nothing to it, really. You think that wearing a mask is stupid. You think how stupid can we be? The shutdown of our economy and the way it's done is stupid. Okay, I want all of you to get up, and I want you to move to this half of the auditorium. Would anybody in this room move? I would believe one at least would. And if I said, okay, now, all of you that are so shook up and concerned, and we have some right to be, don't we? About the virus, and you think it's stupid, you look around and say, what is the matter with you people? Why don't you have a mask on? All of you that feel that strongly, get up and come over to this side of the building. Would anybody move? If your heart was right, some of you would. We don't think the same, do we? We don't feel the same, and that's for good reason. There's some people sitting in this room who've had family members nearly die because of this virus. We've got people in this room whose lives haven't changed. I talked to two guys yesterday who said, look, I'm not letting this virus affect me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to be who I want to be. And they just go about living life. Boy, do we feel differently. We do. But it doesn't stop there. In the Pew Research Center, there was some discussion about American struggle with truth and accuracy and accountability. Just have a little bit of information I want to share with you. Many think America is experiencing a crisis in facts and truth, and they believe this problem ties into the current state of distrust people have in institutions. The center recently reported that half of U.S. adults say made-up news and information is a very big problem in the country today, and about two-thirds say it causes a great deal of confusion about the basic facts of current issues. They also say made-up news and information has a big impact on Americans' confidence in government. 68% say that. And in each other, over half of the people say, all of this makes a difference in my confidence in you and your confidence in me. In this new survey, we add to those insights, finding that the mass majority of adults say that Americans' level of agreement on the basic facts about issues and events is a problem. Fully 85% of adults, 85% of adults say that it is at least a moderately big problem, including 42% saying that's a very big problem. In urgency, this issue ranks alongside Americans' confidence in the federal government and the availability of affordable housing as problems that worry Americans. Falls slightly above issues such as the quality of public schools and the condition of roads and bridges in public transportation across the country. At the same time, Americans admit that at times they have trouble distinguishing the truth from falsehood on certain issues. Are you listening? We, people in this room, have trouble distinguishing what is the truth and what is not. We have the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control at odds on masks. So what are we supposed to do? The very people that are supposed to be governing and guarding our health with regard to how to deal with this tremendous pandemic that we've been observing. What's the truth? Which one of them is right? Or some of them partially right and some partially wrong? What is the truth? I saw somebody sent me something on the internet that was showing me the size of the hole in your mask. Every mask is being worn today. This one that I've been wearing until I got up, it has holes in it, and things can go through those holes. And then it showed the size of the virus. And the size of the virus is so much smaller than the hole in your mask that virus can get through there. And then someone sent back a reply to that, said, well, you just don't understand how the virus is spread. You see, we disagree. And we strongly disagree. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. And I'm not thinking I'm drumming up some stuff. Look at the fires. Look at the destruction. Look at what's happening in those things that are going on in our world today with regard to riots and civil unrest. The tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. We want to say, Lord, don't you care? Does it not bother you that these things are happening? I have my opinions about that. I have my opinions about the death of this man at the hands of a police officer or the knee of the police officer, however you choose to look at that. I have my opinion about a mask. I have my opinion about the government. I have my opinion about our president or who's going to run for president. I have my opinion on all of that. Do you? Yes, you do. And you and I differ on some of those things now. The passage that Bill read for us, will help us not to be conceited to the point that we provoke people, and we do sometimes, when we start expressing our political points of view or our medical points of view or the way we think it ought to be done and what the elders ought to do and what the governor ought to do and what, and we go on and on. And we get excited about that, and sometimes we become conceited and we hurt people with the way we think and the way we feel and the way we act. Now let me spend a few minutes just trying to help us think, looking at Paul as a tremendous example. When you read Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in prison. I don't think anybody in this room could come close to understanding. There was an older gentleman down at Raymer, Tennessee, when I preached down there 30-something years ago, who was in World War II, and he was on one of those Pacific islands. And as soon as he went into battle, he was captured. He spent 4.5 years in a German concentration camp. I tried to get him to come speak to the students in chapel to let them know what life is like there. And he would talk about fighting over a roach to eat, fighting over a mouse or a rat that they could catch and kill and eat. You see, that makes us sick, and we're rolling our eyes. We're thinking, oh, yeah. We don't get the kinds of things that the Apostle Paul faced in prison. But a decade later, he's writing from prison again to the church in Philippi, where he was imprisoned in Acts chapter 16. And he's writing to them in this chapter about the proper control of our heart and mind in speaking the same thing, in doing what ought to be done. And when you look in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 28, at what Paul endured, he has a right from a human perspective, but from a spiritual perspective, here's a man inspired by God to share these things with us. And so we need to listen. There's a lot of anxiety. Some of you are anxious today. It might be because you have to wear a mask, you feel, or you don't want to wear a mask, or you ain't going to wear a mask. There may be some kind of anxiety. Turn that loose and honor God. Live for Him. If you think you need to pray for somebody in this room or somebody outside this room, and we do, pray for them. Not in a conceited way like, Lord, if all of these people were like me, this would be a great world. It isn't going to be a great world if everybody is like Roy Sharp, I can tell you. But you can pray for me and pray for me to make wise choices, not wild choices, wise choices. Paul's example is to not be anxious about anything. Be able to control your mind when the world is out there and the tempest is raging and the billows are tossing high. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And let it be done with thanksgiving, not with arrogance, in trying to force God to force everybody to be like me and think like me. Give thanks that God has blessed us in the way that He has. And that is when this peace of God that surpasses our ability to understand will guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. We need more prayer. Life is tough. Life is tough. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha is facing a very difficult situation. The people of God were facing a very difficult situation. Here is his reply. Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I wish that God would permit us just for a moment to see the spiritual hosts that God has working for us and with us in our lives in that spiritual realm. I wish we could see that. What we seem to tend to see are those spiritual forces of wickedness that are out there and the ugliness. Let's be grateful that God has more help for us than anything that can be against us. Think about the things, Paul says, that are true and honorable and just and pure, lovely and commendable. Stop the negative thinking if that's you. And I'm grateful that we have so many people in this room. That's not you. But we need to continue to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, because every one of us has the opportunity to become arrogant, thinking we know more than all the people around us. So control your thinking and guard your hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Every one of us needs to keep our hearts with great vigilance. From our hearts flow the springs of life. My prayer is for all of us to keep guard over our heart and our lives in Christ Jesus, and be at peace with the God who made us. If there's a need for a response, remember, our elders are going to be waiting. If you need, respond at the conclusion of our service by going to the classroom. Thank you so much for being here today, and may God bless us all in our efforts to stay at peace with God, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ.